This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Tonight, the Australian of the Year Awards will be taking place, celebrating legends from right across this nation of ours. And I'm so pleased to have on the phone the New South Wales local hero for 2021, Rosemary Kariuki. Rosemary is the Multicultural Community Liaison Officer for the Parramatta Police and specialises in helping migrants who are facing domestic violence, language barriers and financial distress. Good morning to you, Rosemary.
Good morning to you.
Now, look, Rosemary, you have a particular empathy for migrants through your own experience coming to Australia back in 1999. Can you share some of your story?
Yes, thanks. Yes, I came in 1999 and I didn't know anyone. And it was very new to me. But one thing I knew, because I never got a lot of information from anybody. I knew after settling here, one thing I'll be doing is giving information to the migrants and the refugees, because without information, you cannot go far.
What are some of the things that we might not realise about migrants and their adjustment to living in a place like Australia?
When the migrants come here, first of all, where they come from, there's no services that are in Australia. Let's say, for example, going for free checkups in the hospital, in the GP, or being helped maybe if you have problems with the electricity bill. I remember when a lot of South Sudanese and Sierra Leoneans and Liberians were settling here, that is the early 2004, 2005, 2006 there. They used to get these big telephone bills because they were just given a phone. They were not explained what the contract was. And you could see them coming up with bills of $3,000.
Wow, $3,000 for a phone bill.
Yes, but because they were not explained, they were just signed because they have a new phone, but they were not telling them what they are signing for. And it took a long time for that to be sorted out and for them to be cleared of that, because they didn't know. So that is the type of the information I'm talking about. Another information is, for example, where we come from, especially the ones, everybody are living in the car, in the refugee camps. Everybody looks after the children. Everybody, we live like a community. But when we come here, for example, you have an appointment to go to maybe housing or Centrelink, then, or maybe an exam for English test or something. And you have maybe three children. One is 10 years, 5 years, and 3 years. So you leave the 10-year-old looking after the two young children, which is not allowed here. And then they used to have a lot of problems because the neighbors will call the police on them. So I remember one time there was this kid walking in the streets. They were under, they were maybe up to 10 years. And when the police called them, they took them to the police station. I remember them calling me to find out what is happening. And when I called the mom, I realized the mother had to go and do, I think, a test for citizenship. And she didn't have anyone to leave the kids with, and she thought it is okay. So she left the kids to play in her backyard. But as you know, the kids thought, let's go to our friends. And when they were going, that's when the police saw them. And then the mother said, I didn't know what to do. I had to do this test. And I had to, they told me I have to do it today. And I thought the elder kid will look after the other ones. So a lot of information and education is very, very important, because most of my migrants, they do mistakes without knowing their mistakes.
Now, I imagine that it would also be incredibly lonely. You know, when you come to a new place, you don't know anyone. And I imagine your work, especially in the Parramatta area, would be helping people to feel more connected with the community around them. Is that right?
Yes, yes. When I came here, I was very lonely because I come from a big family. I didn't know anybody and no one was talking to me. So I thought, how can I use this lonely time? And that's how I started volunteering. I was visiting the lonely people in the nursing homes. And when the people come here, and especially when they come to report domestic violence, one thing I identify, they are very lonely because they are already isolated, controlled. They cannot go. Even they don't know anything about play groups. So the first thing I do, as much as I refer them to services, the first thing I do is connect them with a play group in their area and a social group. If they don't want to join their own community because of shame and many things, I always look for another social group that is happening. If there's any events happening in the past, I continue encouraging them to go. And once they start going to those play groups or social groups, half the job is done. And most of the women who go through domestic violence, once you connect them with other women through play groups, through social groups, or through anything that's happening, they never go back that to abuse, because they get empowered. Then they talk with each other. The women encourage them, and even if some will not leave the marriage, but they are empowered, they know their rights.
Yes. It's a marvellous job you're doing, Rosemary. And I believe as well, in part of your work, you've also established an annual event called the African Women's Dinner Dance. Can you share more about this and what takes place at these each year?
I started the African Women group in 2005. And why I started this African Women Dinner Dance is because women, our communities were not accessing services. And I thought, how can they access services? That's when there is a lot of unemployment. A lot of them were settling down. That's when they were coming in huge numbers, the Sierra Leoneans, the Liberians, and the South Sudanese. But they never accessed the information in the services. They'll go and say, oh, these people, the Africans don't want to access any services. So I thought, how do I let them know the services out there? Our people are not reading people, because they were giving them flyers. Our people are word-of-mouth people. Word goes very quickly. So I thought, okay, with the children, they get information from the school. The men, doesn't matter which community they come from, background, they don't come to things. Then I go to the women. What does the women like? It's the dance and the dinner and the food. And I thought, okay, we will use the dinner dance, but it was so hard. Everybody I sold the idea to, they said, oh, nobody will give you funding. Nobody will give you funding for dinner dance. But I remember saying, this is not a dinner dance. It's a vehicle for them to come and know the services for them. And our African community, dance is not only like an entertainment, is how we release our feelings, is we pass our information through music and dancing. So the first one was 2005, and 350 women came, and there was a domestic violence survivor who shared her story. She's an Australian, about how she left her abusive marriage. And on Monday, about 20 women came to report domestic violence. And the African Women Dinner Dance is now organized with a group called African Women Group, which I am the founder. And each year we have been doing over 400 women come, not only African, every woman is invited. That's the only day a woman comes. There's no child, there's no husband. Her work is just to be beautiful, wear her cultural dress, just come and just be hung. They get the services. We get a guest speaker, like this one. We got a young lady who came and shared the struggles the young people have with the parents, because when they say, oh, we are going to see a movie, the parents, and that's how our cultures are, they'll not allow you to go. And maybe it's an educational one. So she talked, and the women were so surprised to hear a young person says what they do to them. And then we also used something like high tea to talk about men's mental health. There's another project also we did called the Mom and Daughter Dinner Dance. and the mother and daughter, it was to talk about healthy relationships, early marriage, arranged marriage, and slavery. And because we do it in a social setting, the women are very, very happy and they can understand and even get involved. And then the highlight of and my favorite project is called Cultural Exchange Program. And this came about when the Aladala women in South Coast, they saw our story about the dinner dance in the newspaper. And they said they want to come and enjoy, but they can't afford to go back. I mean, they cannot go back and they cannot afford to stay in motels. I said, if you don't mind, you can share our bed. You can sleep on the floor. We have no problem. And for sure, they came. And they, it is a drumming group. So when they came in the morning, when we, on Sunday, when we were making breakfast in my in my small house, they would say, what do you call that? How do you make that? Blah, blah, blah. And they invited us to go to Aladala. And that's how the culture exchange program was born. And I take women, and women is from all cultures. There's Indians, Afghan, Iraqi, Africans, Australians. And we go and stay for 3 days in Australian homes. And most of the is the white Australians, because the region countries, that's where they are. And within those 3 days, both sides, the exchange culture, and there's a lot of good things that comes out of that. Hmm. The women never go anywhere. That is the only place. There's some women who never go out of their homes, and that is the only place that they go. After every year, we do it twice a year, April and November. But now with this COVID, we are just waiting to see how it will go. So, but we're having a reunion, all COVID-friendly, if it allows, in May, where all the places we've gone, the host will come to Sydney, and we showcase our Sydney too, and they're going to live with us in our home. Hmm. So, what I always say, get to know your neighbor. This country is very multicultural, but if you find people, they live in silos. The Africans live in by themselves, the Chinese by themselves, the Indians by themselves. Nobody is talking to each other. Just go and knock at your neighbors. Tell them, let's walk to the supermarket. Go to the park together. Arrange street barbecues. And this way, just go across the road and just say hi to somebody who's not from your community. And you can imagine how this country, which is, we say, multicultural, how beautiful it will be.
That's exactly right, Rosemary. You've challenged us to do that this morning. Thank you so much for joining us on Hope Breakfast. We are so thrilled that you're our state local hero, Rosemary Kariuki, and we look forward to finding out if you become Australia's local hero tonight at the awards. All the best for tonight, and thank you for joining us on Hope Breakfast, Rosemary.
Okay, then. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.